Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your BlackRock Asset Allocation Alpha Fund Update. My name is Solomon, and I'll be your event manager today. Throughout the conference, you remain on listen only. If you need assistance at any time, press star zero on your touch-tone telephone, and a coordinator will assist you. And now, I'd like to hand the conference over to Scott Phillips. Please proceed, sir.
Thank you very much, and ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the BlackRock Asset Allocation Fund Update. My name is Scott Phillips, and I'm the Head of Retail Distribution here at BlackRock, and I'll be your host for the session. Following this conference call, we will have time for questions from our presenters. Hopefully, you've all had an opportunity to either print out or have downloaded the presentation, because we will be following some of the slides as we go through today's presentation. You've all probably seen BlackRock in the press a lot lately, particularly on grounds of fixed income, for two potential reasons. Firstly, we, being BlackRock Solutions, have been hired by both the Irish and Greek central banks to undertake a review of their respective domestic bank provisioning policies to see whether they've set aside enough provision for their bad loans, the outcomes of which may force these banks to set aside even more money or raise fresh capital. Secondly, BlackRock have been quite prominent in launching the BlackRock Sovereign Vulnerability Index, providing investors with an alternative way of looking to invest in higher quality sovereign debt issues as opposed to just debt issuer weighted indices. It's these type of assignments coupled with huge resources which give BlackRock a unique insight into global investment markets, and also, we believe, give us great ability to run a fund like the Asset Allocation Alpha Fund. I'd now like to pass over to Vincent Loblanco, Product Specialist for the BlackRock Asset Allocation Alpha Fund, and Evan Jones, Senior Portfolio Manager. They'll be providing us with an update on the fund today. Vincent, over to you.
Hi, good morning everyone. Thank you very much for taking the time to listen to this update on the fund. Today I'll spend about 20 minutes briefly reviewing the fund's objectives, introduce our new addition to the team in Evan Jones, review our performance, and importantly, share with you our views in these difficult and volatile markets and discuss how we are positioned. So if you'd like to turn over to slide three, the fund, just to remind you all again, the fund is designed to provide an asset allocation solution to your clients' portfolios, and as such, to be lowly correlated with the performance from your clients' other major investment asset classes, particularly in these times, equities. On page four, I've simply reiterated the key parameters for the fund that clearly has not changed, and I know most of you are well aware of the parameters. So to go to page five, risk management, and as you're all very well aware, I tend to spend a lot of time on risk management in terms of stressing how important it is for a fund like this that takes equity-like risk, but especially in light of the recent market turmoil, risk management is paramount for this fund. As I will discuss a little later, our risk management has limited the downside performance through the period of directionless volatility up to early July of this year, and certainly maintaining participation in profitable trades whilst limiting the loss on any significant correction has helped the fund post a relatively strong result since early July through to the end of August. On page six, the team managing the portfolio has been very stable since the inception of this fund, and indeed since the inception of implementing this strategy in our balanced funds over 8 years ago. And since my last presentation to you, Evan Jones has joined the team as a Senior Portfolio Manager. I'd like to ask Evan to share briefly with you his background and experience, and importantly, what he sees as his role and his contribution to the team.
Thanks, Vincent, and good morning, everyone. My background is in banking. I've been a proprietary trader for a few various banks for about the last 11 years. In terms of what I've been to this team, the nature of proprietary trading for a bank is a little bit more short-term than your classic funds management role. My trading horizon for my various beans tends to be the sub 1 month trade horizon, which allows David and Jeff to stay focused on the longer term themes. So far in the 3 months I've been trading here, that's worked well. As Vincent alluded to, in volatile but directionless markets, that's where my edge should help the team. So that's what I've been brought in to do. I've known David, the lead PM, for the last 10 years, and we've been in daily discussions in terms of positions that we're both running and themes that we like. So we are pretty comfortable in terms of understanding each other's trade style and trade horizon.
All right. Thanks, Evan. I guess hopefully there'll be some questions at the end of this, perhaps more of your thoughts on current positions, etc. But let me swing over to slide 8 and look at the performance. I guess you've all heard me say that, since late 2009 through to about early July this year, the environment has been difficult for our style. Formulating a strong conviction on the outlook for the global economy 6 to 12 months out with so much uncertainty and so much policy intervention has been difficult. Markets have been highly correlated with the risk on risk off trade, and volatility has knocked us out of positions regularly, even though the view may have ultimately been correct. Since early July, however, correlations have broken down somewhat. We have moved into a particularly extreme macro environment, and I guess we can talk a bit more about that later on. And as a result, the environment has improved somewhat for our style. It's early days, and as you know, predicting what the future investment environment will be like is difficult, but at least we're seeing some more trending opportunities that we haven't seen for quite a period of time. Our final monthly figure isn't signed off yet, but certainly August will be positive around 5%. So I think if you look at the that matrix on the slide, hoping the calendar year return will now be flat, and certainly relative to equities and some of the risk assets, that's an outcome that's okay so far and certainly something that we would like to build on. On slide 9, since inception, net of fees, the fund has delivered strong returns. Our relatively flat performance over the past couple of years is evidence there. Certainly August performance will have a nice kick up in that top line, but again, we have returned better than the major asset classes and certainly done it in a different trajectory than those asset classes have. On 10, our correlation with the major markets, you'll note that, we are negative 0.44 correlation with domestic equities. That's important, and your clients are invested in alternates. They don't want these types of funds to be going up and down lockstep with equities. It is important to have, we think, very lowly, even randomly correlations with the major asset classes, and we have done that. So let's move on to 11, because I do want to slide 11 and subsequently slide 12. I do want to share with you key themes. In the time that we have today, I want to keep it at a fairly high level, but then be very happy to take more specific questions from you on our views at a more macro level. But there are three very important areas to focus on from a macroeconomic viewpoint: the US, Europe and China, if I can summarise them that way. Let's start off with the US. And clearly the news on the US economy continues to be disappointing. In the first half of 2011, the economy has effectively stalled, growing at an annual rate of less than 1%. This is in stark contrast to widely held expectations, and indeed our own, at the start of the year, of something like a 4% annualised growth. To be sure, there are some one-off factors driving this outcome, including the Japanese tragedy and the rise in oil prices. But it is also clear that the ongoing deleveraging process is weighing more heavily on the economy than previously thought. The economy is fragile and close to a renewed recession. At this stage, we expect the economy to to do better in the second half of 2011. We are somewhat reassured that the run of data in the US clearly shows some welcome acceleration in economic growth in Q3, as motor vehicle production ramps up again following the disruption to global supply chains caused by the Japanese earthquake, and consumer spending appears to have strengthened somewhat from a disturbingly weak pace in Q2. The real economy data in the weeks ahead will tell the story of whether the market gyrations have been enough to tip the US into recession. If we survive that data, the question remains, what happens to US fiscal policy in 2012? Fiscal policy is set to tighten dramatically in the absence of any political action. The Bush tax cuts, payroll tax reduction, and extension of unemployment benefits are among some of the measures which will expire at the end of this year. Of course, a credible plan to tighten fiscal policy over the medium term is a critical ingredient for restoring confidence, but a tightening of 2 to 3 percentage points next year is too much too soon. The President will clearly try to fashion a deal whereby the Congress agrees to extend some or all of these measures, but whether this is feasible remains to be seen. And certainly recent experience with the negotiations over the increase in the debt ceiling doesn't fill us with an immense amount of confidence. Briefly on Europe. The huge issue here remains is what will be done to fix the seemingly intractable problems besetting the European Union. European policymakers still appear to be operating under the assumption that markets will give them more time to solve their problems than appears to be likely. Consequently, it seems more riots, if I can use that expression, in European markets will be necessary to motivate the policymakers to put in place a sustainable solution. That is, some form of fiscal union, or ultimately breakup of the euro. These riots carry a substantial risk of an unintended accident reminiscent of the demise of Lehman in 2008. China, and on a more encouraging note, that economy has slowed from an unsustainable pace and continues to grow strongly, and inflation may have peaked for the year. The evidence supporting a soft landing in China is not only the data flow, but also the remarkable resilience of commodity prices. Bulk commodity prices are trading close to their highs for the year, and base metals and soft commodities are also resilient. Indeed, we've seen that reflected in the performance of the Australian dollar through this period. This is in sharp contrast to 2008, when commodity prices collapsed. The confidence of the Chinese policymakers in the resilience of their economy is reflected in their actions, as the yuan continues to appreciate, unlike 2008, when appreciation is put on hold. And they also announced an effective tightening of monetary policy through widening the base for required reserves to include margin deposits. Other emerging economies are also slowing, but still growing at a reasonable rate. Of course, if the major developed economies slip back into recession, this will further dampen growth in these emerging economies, which may leave commodity prices quite vulnerable. So to sum up, the worries that have beset the markets this year are coming into sharper focus, and I guess that has been reflected in significantly more volatile markets. We can see a scenario where these worries dissipate one by one. The US economy does better in the second half, and a deal is done to ensure the fiscal tightening in 2012 is more manageable. In Europe, the Greek debt swap is agreed, and the ECB manages a successful transition in buying troubled sovereign debt to the newly expanded EFSF. At this point, this does not appear to be the central case, and the portfolio, whilst holding some positions to reflect that, has retained a defensive tilt to protect it from the risks that are still most prevalent in the markets. So So on that point, I'd like you to perhaps move over to slide 13, which outlines some of the key positions in the portfolio. And you will note that it is quite diversified. We are still, we are long Asian currencies, long some equity markets in our pro-cyclical or pro-risk positions. We are certainly holding defensive positions that will protect those should volatility increase. We have some other thematics, such as perceived increases or expected increases in dividends. And certainly, we are looking for countries like Australia and Canada to eventually more normalise their yield curves, or certainly to reflect our view that expectations for easing of policy in those economies has probably been somewhat overdone in the near term. So on that point, I'll pass it over to Scott, who might perhaps take questions.
Sure. Look, before we open up the lines, I think that you know, in the field we've had a lot of questions from financial planners, and so one that I could probably summarise and hand over to Evan is, given the framework that Timmy just talked about before, we've had a look at some of the positions that we're thinking about in the portfolio and having the portfolio. What are the sorts of positions that you're likely to take on? And what are the types of signals or data that you're looking for to implement those?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, globally, I think the main thing that we're focused on now and certainly concerned about is the European situation. If we see another downturn in the PMIs that have been coming out the last 2 months, which are very reliable business cycle indicators, then we feel that the banking crisis and the sovereign crisis there is only likely to gather steam. That's part of the reason why we're still long the French CDS position in the portfolio, which has been a very, very strong performer. Also, we are looking at getting short the euro currency at some point, although for the last couple of months that's been in a very broad and non-directional trading range. So we don't think the signal's there yet, but it's certainly on our radar. One other trade that we've done well out of in the last month or so is long gold. We've been long gold. We exited that close to the highs, fortunately, and we're still looking at that as a potential thing to re-enter that. So, you know, in this time zone, it's pretty tough to stay on top of what's happening in Europe on a real time basis. But we feel we've sort of outlined the main themes and we're on top of it. Domestically, the one thing that we like here is we think there's too much priced in too soon in our rates curve. Obviously, the cash rate is currently at 4.75. Our rates curve by year end has an implied cash rate of 4%, implying 0.75% of rate cuts. We think that's too aggressive, and certainly one of the things we're looking at is shorting the rate curve very close to the front end, and being long our rates further out. Our 3-year bonds currently trade at a yield of 3.85. Which is 90 basis points under current cash. So there seems to be an implicit demand for our bonds, given that they're a good AAA credit with a good yield, and obviously have a fair bit of Asian beta in there as well. So we like our curve to re-normalise over the next couple of months, but we think it'll be a slow grind.
That's great. Thank you, Evan. Now I'd hand over to the operator to open up for Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing *1 on your touchtone telephone. Please stand by while the list is being structured. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that is *1. At this time, there are no questions in the queue.
Okay, well, look, I might wrap things up there. If you do have any questions, please send them through to your business development managers. We're very happy to obviously take questions. This fund, we appreciate everyone's support and continuing to use it within clients' portfolios. Last point I'd sort of like to leave you with is that, it has been a tough grind for this strategy over the last 18 months to 2 years. As Vincent said, the last couple of months have been quite good for the fund. We've been on the right foot. The fund has delivered something around about 6.5% in terms of total return over the last 2 months. When we compare this against some of the major equity market indices, in particular the Australian share market, which has returned around 9% negative, difference there being around about 15%, against the MSCI, a difference of around about 17%. So where the market has delivered minus 10, our fund up about 6.5, quite a good outcome in terms of that diversification that we've talked about and the role that this fund does play in portfolios. So in saying that, again, thank you for taking the time to listen to us. We will have this recorded and send it out, so if you do want to use it again, you're welcome to. Otherwise, thanks for your attention, and over and out.
This concludes the presentation. You may now disconnect. Have a great day.